Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 4th on the West Coast, now April the 5th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We hope everyone enjoyed this past weekend. The aberrant weather has continued, and there are strong winds blowing out of Washington that the no-legged Mac Daddy has to raise $1 billion. He's going to run for president again. And, of course, the news snippets that accompany the story praise him, saying, well, he hasn't done anything yet, but we should give him another 4 years to see what he can do. I find that absolutely a loaded comment and as ridiculous as the past two years and 3 months. However, one of these people said, well, he's been at it for 4 years. I'm wondering what they're adding to the length of term that he served so far. Maybe they're talking about Larry Sinclair. Maybe they're talking about the Trinity Church in Chicago, where three individuals suspiciously died, all with links to him. Well, we have other important things to talk about, and we want to stay away from the fiction and fantasy as much as possible. I just want to reference something. I'll probably be talking about it maybe tomorrow night in more depth. If you recall, a few weeks back, there was an incident at the Dome of the Rock at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And since then, six separate videos have come out. The most recent one shows a flying saucer lowering itself over the dome from the ground level, right directly underneath. And of course, someone associated with one of the intelligence agencies, no doubt, started a website and is briefing us on the fact that this sixth video now has been determined by some special MUFON expert video analyzer. And this individual, whose name I won't even mention, because to me the whole story is nothing but an attempt to debunk what now six individuals have independently videotaped. And the cost to absolutely do a perfect replica of one of the United Galactic Federation craft would be enormous for somebody carrying a camcorder. I listened and watched the video, and I can hear someone actually speaking in German. And he makes a few comments. What is that? And I don't understand any of this, he says in German a couple of times. So it's obviously a tourist that took the photo. Of course, the story says that he's in hiding in fear of his life. And here we are on the radio talking about it for the whole world to hear. Certainly, we're not afraid. We're speaking the truth. And so, evidently, this is an important story to try to debunk, because it leads to the fact that there was a nuclear weapon buried in the basement of the Dome of the Rock, and it was intended at some point, should political winds start blowing in a different direction, to have that explosive go off. It was disarmed. That was the purpose for the craft being there. As we reported it many weeks ago, story hasn't changed, and certainly the people that were there know certainly well what happened. So, one for us and none for the black hats on this one. Well, with everything that's going on in the world, and you've got upheavals in the Middle East, people are allegedly rioting. Now they're claiming that they're burning the Quran in Afghanistan, like this never happened before. Oh, 12 copies of the Quran have been burned, and so the whole world is up in arms about it. Meantime, people are starving. People are dying from disease. People are being blown to smithereens while the elite, as they like to call themselves, just wreak more havoc upon the rest of the earth. And I think we should still be praying for the folks in Japan. We are digging into the truth to find out what is really going on with the radiation, what danger we are in. We'll have updates for that. And in the meantime, we could be thinking about a harvest for the world. be a harvest for the world. That was the Isley Brothers, a hit they wrote many years ago, and it still applies today. You see who's in control. They can't fix what they've broken because it's been broken intentionally. We're going to talk about how individuals, patriots, people who operate in the system are treated when they speak out against all the injustice that's going on in this country and in the whole world. The individual we'll be talking about himself is a talk show host and an essayist. He's famous for his nickel rants. And his case was brought to my attention by tonight's guest, who is a regular Monday night guest, and in his own right, a talk show host with the Micro Effect Network. And he is an author, a naturopath, and a great researcher, my good friend, Dr. A. Truott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Well, welcome yourself, Don. Thanks for having me on the show, and it's a pleasure again to hear you again. We took a last week off. Unfortunately, I had to be called out of town and actually missed my show on Tuesday as well, but now we're back in the saddle, so thanks for having me on.
And nothing's changed except it's gone downhill, hasn't it?
Truly.
It's amazing. Well, this individual I was talking about, you reminded me of his case. He was set up. Of course, we're talking about the attorney Edgar J. Steele, who was living in Idaho, currently in jail somewhere in the state of Washington, and he was charged with a solicitation to commit the murder of his wife and his mother-in-law. Now, I know a lot of people don't like their mother-in-laws, or I should say mothers-in-law, but nonetheless, it's been determined, at least on the defense side, that these tapes, which allege the conversations between him and his let's say, caretaker on his property, were fabricated. And hopefully, if he's allowed to present a defense, that will come out. Your thoughts on this case?
Well, obviously, yeah, we've both been reporting on this since the day it happened. I've had various people on my show reporting on it. And there's no doubt, in my mind at least, that it was a setup. And the primary evidence, of course, is very, odd tape recording of Mr. Steele supposedly paying an undercover agent for, you know, the hit on his mother-in-law. Now, There's technology available, as you know, Don, that was easily working with the security agencies of this shadow government since the 1970s that basically can take just a small snippet of a person's voice and morph it, make it basically sound exactly like the individual. I myself had an experience where, I think it was in the late 80s, a gentleman that I am acquainted with in Washington, D.C. explained how it would work with me. And there was actually a group that were, according to my friend, were planning on setting me up in much the same manner, Don. And this gentleman basically played me a clip of sounded like me and my voice doing a major drug deal. Incredible information. And my business at the time, he informed me that they were going to be putting some illegal drugs, planting them on my business and having a tipster come in. And that all, my voice on the tape would be presented to a judge for a search warrant and it'd be all over. And My goodness, it really sobered me up. He sent this, all this documented evidence, to a federal, an FBI agent that he could trust in Salt Lake City, and basically stop this action against me. So I know firsthand, Don, how easy it is to set somebody up. If they don't want you out there doing any type of disruption, it's much easier to set up a sting type of a situation rather than actually murder somebody. They want to discredit individuals rather than, you know, take them out. That's kind of a last resort. So I do know what happens, and this just smacks just exactly like that. The fellow that worked for him that was, you know, testifying and part of his trial comes to find out he is a drug person himself and is a government agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my understanding, he's an FBI informant.
Right.
At the least. Where was this technology when Milli Vanilli got caught lip syncing?
<You know? laughs> Gosh, that's a good point. So I know that it does happen, and so my listeners and yours as well, I'm sure, asking, well, who is Edgar Steele? What was he doing? What was he standing for that was such a problem to the powers that be? He's up in the northern panhandle of Idaho. You wouldn't think that would be much of an area where he could cause too much disruption. It's not really, you know, a highly populated area. But Edgar Steele, as an attorney, he knows the law. He knows the UCC codes. He knows the reality of the judges in the system, and he was involved heavily in a membership group to expose and to basically disenfranchise the Federal Reserve. It's called the Jekyll Island Project.
Mm-hmm.
And the group met in 2009. A group of so-called patriots, such as, you know, Catherine Albright was there, which is kind of questionable in my mind. I think she is an absolute shill.
Mm-hmm.
Albright has too many ties to the Illuminati elite of Harvard University for my taste. I noticed she was there, and a bunch of others. Ed Griffin was there. Right at the Jekyll Island Resort. And they basically had a recreation of the creature from Jekyll Island. And this is May of 2009, not quite 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, they went after Tom Cryer, who I understand was also there. But they didn't go after Bob Schultz or Edwin Vieira, G. Edward Griffin,
Catherine Albright.
Or Albrecht, yeah.
Albrecht.
And let's see, there was, I don't know, somewhere around 15 or 16 people that spoke there at least.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been targeted. So a lot of this has to do with the stance. Ed was also a constitutional trial attorney, and he was speaking about the Constitution constantly. That's what his nickel rants were often about. So I think they saw him as someone that was becoming to be too effective in his message, and so he was targeted. We should also mention that there were a large sums of gold and silver stolen from the house. It wasn't like Edgar needed insurance money that he would get, you know, upon the murder of his wife and his mother-in-law. They did find bombs taped to the underside of his wife's car, and I believe his car as well. So those were discovered somewhat accidentally by an auto mechanic that was servicing one of the cars, Mrs. Steele's car. And Cindy herself also listened to the tape, and when it when these tapes that they manufactured, obviously, were audited, she said there was something very strange about it. It was his voice, but it didn't sound human. It didn't sound like the way he talks. It was just words that someone had extracted from his speech. So the methodology used is not infallible. And, you know, to frame him, I'm saying. And the story doesn't even hold true to his actual financial conditions. They basically trashed the house, tearing up the walls and the floors. And now, you want
to
comment?
I haven't been able to substantiate this myself, but I have heard from was a caller into my radio show when I did the evening shows with talking about the case of Edgar Steele. But it slips my mind who the state senator from Atlanta, Georgia, that was killed.
Oh, Karen Schaefer.
Yeah, Karen Schaefer and her husband. I had heard it reported. There was this constitutionalist group, these Minutemen, that were basically uniting to expose the problems with Child Protective Services, DCFS, and he was working with them with some cases exposing them in Idaho, the entire state, actually.
And Don Harkins was working on that, too.
Okay, so there you are. So there's all kinds of things that that he was involved in that they just wanted to send a message out. And, you know, I sent you that clip to review of his actual speech. It's just a short segment of his speech there in Jekyll Island. But my goodness, he lays it on pretty solidly, I submit.
Mm-hmm. I have that queued up if you'd like me to play that. And then,
oh, yes. Let's listen to that.
And we can talk about it. Now, let's pray that it plays because it's loaded here. Mm-hmm. But it's been sitting here for a few minutes. So here we go. This is Edgar Steele at the Jekyll Island Project from May 21st and 22nd, 2009.
To Edgar Steele. Edgar, you here? Okay.
Thank you, Bob. My name is Edgar Steele. I'm a trial lawyer from the great sovereign state of Idaho. I've represented clients of every stripe in my 30 years in and out of state and federal courtrooms up and down the West Coast. I'm best known for struggling against the ever-shrinking limits of our constitutional rights on behalf of the politically incorrect. And remember, always, it is they, the politically incorrect, whose rights are first infringed and then eliminated. Always, I'm amazed to hear what some people seem to think that I think about things racial. In response, for today, let me say simply that I believe in equal rights for all, special rights for none. Some say patriotism is old-fashioned. Some think that love of country is out of date. Some consider the slightest show of sentimentality towards one's homeland to be naive. But God help us, and God help our country, if the cynics, the one-worlders, the intellectual dilettantes ever persuade us that these things have passed us by. Because, ladies and gentlemen, patriotism, loyalty, sentiment, these things are the United States of America. In my lifetime, I've seen America grow and change. I've seen her stand tall, and I've seen her brought low. I've seen the best that America can be, and now in recent years, I've seen the worst that America can be. But always, she's been my America, our America, and she will be our America, come what may, for better or worse. We have a habit here in America of forgetting what a grand and noble experiment she represented when our founding fathers wrote first the Declaration of Independence and then the Constitution. We forget the sacrifices they made in property, in family, and finally in their own blood. Sacrifices made so that we might freely come together like this to discuss and explore the possibility of peacefully righting our ship of state. We forget the sacrifices by all those since that time. Sacrifices made again and again so that we might have the freedom to consider change. Revolt, they say, always begins in secret. But unlike those six men who came here to this building on Jekyll Island 100 years ago, no secret of our meeting here today or of our intent. Be proud to be a part of this body of people composed of so many who have sacrificed so much in defense of liberty. I'm proud to have been called to participate with so distinguished a body of true patriots and community leaders in exploring peaceful change to what's befallen our beloved America. We speak not of revolt, but a fundamental change to our system, because that system now refuses to allow change by its own rules. It is broken, irretrievably broken. Something must be done. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? And if not here, then where? In all my court cases and appearances, repeatedly, I've been struck by one thing, how similar we all are, regardless of outward appearance or rhetoric. Yet we cling to the minutest of differences in choosing to divide ourselves. The ties that bind become our very excuse for dividing up. Think about it for a minute. Community, merit, abortion, family, race, religion. Just a few of the reasons for our being together, yet excuses for bickering and fighting amongst ourselves. Many of us here today lead organizations to which we truly are captives, such that we resist change in order to mollify and to keep our followers in line. That is not real leadership. Real leaders take risks. Don't forget, winners always are the real leaders. And winners are just losers who happen to get up off the floor one more time than they fell down. We're our own worst enemies. And we may expect to see the urge to divide at work during this conference, during these 2 days. Recognize and resist that urge. Join me in pledging to set aside our differences for just 2 days while we explore ways to restore true freedom to our country. And indeed, while we explore ways to restore even our republic. As we've sailed well past even democracy, which our founding fathers warned us about, beyond oligarchy, and now into the well-charted waters of tyranny and even fascism. History shows us accurately the rocks upon which America is about to founder. Rocks painted with the names injustice, unfairness, prejudice, tyranny. I've had many up close and personal experiences with injustice, unfairness, and prejudice in my time. Because of my legal representation of the politically incorrect, I get painted with the same brush that unfairly paints them, even when they stand unjustly accused. It really is true, you know. There is no justice in America today for the politically incorrect. And I endure even more controversy and condemnation because I dare to speak out about racial differences and the unfairness of the unequal treatment of Americans solely on the basis of race. Hell, you know, I quite literally wrote a book about this. Don't forget that America's current Attorney General, Eric Holder, called all of us cowards for refusing to engage in just the sort of racial dialogue that I've been trying to initiate for years. And he was right. We need that dialogue, but not during this conference. Let's put aside our differences of the sort that I encounter every day during the next 2 days, and let's work together to advance the cause of liberty and to give life to this historic Continental Congress 2009 initiative. You know, America worked once as a constitutional republic. She can work again like that. Don't despair at how difficult the road ahead might seem to be. The most important things in the world have been accomplished by people who kept on trying when there seemed to be no hope at all. The only real failure in life, you know, is giving up. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you risked so much to make a difference. I'm glad so many are willing to give so much simply by being here today. I'm proud to call you friends. We don't all have to be the same. We don't have to have the same ability. We don't have to share the same beliefs. Dare to be different, even from one another. I don't know the key to success, but I do know that the key to failure is in trying to please everybody. And heaven knows I don't manage to do that. We all have a role to play, each and every one of us. Don't despair at your own talents. Now listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. Don't try to be better than anybody else. Just try to be better than yourself. Do just that, and they'll never break our spirit. They'll never silence us. They will never take our freedom. Together, we can touch lives. Together, we can make a difference. Together, we can awaken America. Together, we can take back America. My name's Edgar J. Steele. Thank you.
Thank you.
there you have it, folks. If you just joined us, ladies and gentlemen, that was Edgar J. Steele, a speaker at the Jekyll Island Project to plan the Continental Congress of 2009. True, any comments that you would like to make about that?
Well, yeah, just again, just a little over a year after he made that speech, he's in arrested for a conspiracy to murder a member of his family, his wife's mother. The whole sordid story just doesn't fit with the man's character. Just listening to his tone of voice, his age, good heavens, there's no profit motive. The man had plenty of money. Nothing that the proposition is saying is accurate, and I'm just amazed. He's not in the best of health. His shortly after this conference, he had a heart condition that put him down, and he was recovering from that. Just one thing after another. I just, you know, it just doesn't make sense that he would want to kill his mother-in-law. Just doesn't make sense. And Cindy, his wife, is now his most vocal supporter. If he had, if there's any truth to these allegations, you think she would be arrayed against him as well. So I all of the things he was doing to mobilize, you know, this new Continental Congress, he would be the pro bono attorney to make sure it's done legally and correctly. I just can't have somebody like that operating. It's obvious. And Don, I just think it's awful strange at his age, given his health and his now his mental condition, which has been broken down, it's just, you know, with this thin evidence in a preliminary hearing and even a bail hearing, why was he not allowed to be released on bail? He's been in jail since this happened last fall.
Well, this is not the first time this has happened to anyone. First of all, we can pray for him. Certainly, he's one of the club, and yet he's speaking out against the club. And he did it very eloquently by exhorting the audience there at the event to cast aside differences and just agree to work together for the 2 days that they were there. That approach right there doesn't sound like a desperate man.
Not at all. It sounds like a man very, very much in touch with reality. Sounds like a voice that Americans needed to hear at that time, and we all could need to realize that it was almost prophetic what he was saying, that the situation and structure that's happening to America right now is extremely perilous. And not just America, Don, but I submit the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what do we do? That's, I guess, the next question with this. Who's going to take the ball and run with it is the question too. So many times we hear people on the radio, associates of ours that's seemingly are on the right track and then just seem to fall off the track and be derailed. And it's happening more and more and more. It's I'm just shocked and surprised by it, frankly.
Yeah, that in and of itself you could do several shows on the reasons for that and everything that's going on. But briefly, I think somebody, well, let's look at Fritz Springmeier. He published several books revealing lots of secrets, and he had close collaboration with former victims of the MK Ultra mind control, and he was himself a very religious man and knew a lot about many of the organizations that he was researching. But he did a tremendous amount of work to bring the information forward. And he was implicated in committing a robbery. And they got somebody to go into court and perjure themselves. In other words, tell their side of the story to guarantee a conviction. So he ends up in prison. He's released, and then suddenly he's back in prison again. This has gone on with many people who are outspoken. And, you know, the listening audience often doesn't consider the risk that is taken in the process of delivering the truth as messengers. You want to comment on that yourself? You've been through the mill in that regard, so...
Well, yeah, you know, it just seems like the powers that be have all the cards, and I keep saying, too, it's really important to realize that yeah, they might have all of the banks, they may have the control that way financially, but doggone it, they're still in the minority as opposed to all of America. I posted on my website this neat little video, and we talked comment about it a couple weeks ago. I think the dot video.
Mm-hmm.
The millions of Americans, you know, they can overwhelm the system if we just united, and that's I think the big threat that Edgar Steele posed. He I think had a real ability to organize and to get people united, and I think that's what the Zionist crew, these Sabbatean cultists, fear the most, Don. They really do fear that the Goyim can organize and become educated to what's really going on here. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Now they're making hay out of a story from Afghanistan about 12. Qurans being burned, and they've got generals from the military, Petraeus, commenting on the burning of the Quran. Now, when the media is putting out stories like that, obviously they're trying to foment religious dissension between not just different religions, but the denominations themselves. Do you see it that way as well? Because this is getting like round the clock coverage.
Well, yeah, I discussed this in depth on my show back September 11th of last year. Of course, that's when this Pastor Jones was set to do this Quran burning then. And I made the comment, then I'll say it now. Who gives a rip?
Mm-hmm.
Let this little guy do his little deal. If nobody publicizes it, who gives a rip in this little town of Texas? Okay? But it's only when the media spout off about it and it gets circulated that it causes an event. And it just seems, again, to me that it's intelligence agencies at work here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can see him wanting to do this as an anniversary of September 11th, but what's the point now when the whole world... The Middle East, the Arab and Islamic world are like a powder keg ready to go. Maybe the powers that be told Pastor Jones, hey, don't do it yet. Wait, it's not. We want to have it do it at a time that's more opportune.
Yeah.
It just that's my take on it. I got to tell you, it just didn't make sense then, and it surely doesn't make sense now.
No, it doesn't. And all of this is designed to take the heat off of all the truth that's been coming out in regard to bin Laden. They tried this a couple of weeks ago. Well, again, they're looking for bin Laden. They got a tip It's pathetic, really. It is.
And then, of course, if you follow my blog, atruewatt.com, you see a couple of posts I made last week. This new rebel leader in Libya just happens to have spent the last 20-plus years just down the road from Langley, Virginia, for heaven's sakes. He just happens to show up to lead the rebel forces against this madman Gaddafi. Come on, how does that happen?
Yeah, I looked at that story. That's pretty out there when you think about all the other stuff that's going on. They're putting it right in your face. You know,
it just blows your mind when you look at the different factions going not only in Libya but Tunisia, many other countries in Africa now are having this bloodletting. Okay, Chad, other countries the whole continent's in an uproar. The Middle East as well as Northern Africa. I just don't believe it's coincidental and accidental.
You would think we would have learned our lesson when we had hanging Chads back in 2000.
Yeah. So yeah, there's just no doubt that Libya and a strategic map is the gateway to Egypt and that whole corridor. I posted a research paper on the historical boundaries of Israel, if we're believing the Bible stories, okay, that Israel is not just setting their eyes on the Gaza Strip and Lebanon. The entire boundaries have got to take a huge chunk out of Egypt. It's got to involve, of course, the downfall of Iran. And the battle lines are set so that, good heavens, the civil war between the Sunni and Shiite factions are set to be a huge Armageddon-like conflagration. All there, you know, in historical ancient Persia, the Iran. And I just can't imagine when this begins to occur, when Iran is attacked, not if, but when. Of course, China and Russia will stand with their ally, Iran. And that's the whole formation of the World War III.
Yeah. I recall back when Saddam Hussein was allegedly shooting Scud missiles into Israel. No, we don't really know that that was the case back then. And from what I've seen, I would say it was probably Israel doing it to its own people. Just to be able to, you know, they just happen to have a camera there to film the missile landing. it's not always orchestrated that way in real life.
Indeed.
Now, we see someone there to film it. I mean, they're showing the thing hitting the ground. It just doesn't happen that way unless it's rehearsed and staged.
Oh, it's wag the dog scenario. Again, yeah. You know, this could happen in a movie set lot in the deserts of Nevada, for heaven's sakes.
Or could have happened at Osama bin Laden's compound.
That's right. In Texas.
Texas. Well, you had some, speaking of your website, Drew, you had some other stories posted there. One that caught my attention was on this virus that people are coming down with in China. Do you care to talk about that at all, or?
Well, yeah. It's again. Keep in mind that there's absolutely no doubt that the AIDS, so-called HIV, human immunosuppressant virus, was a lab creation, and the testimony of researchers have shown that it was manufactured there in these weapons or biological laboratories in New Orleans, around Tulane University, actually. The book Dr. Mary's Monkey, the murder of Dr. Mary Sherman is a real smoking gun to all of this creation. So we know that when you have a lab created virus in this manner that attacks the human immune system, well, it's pretty doggone good guess that it's designed as a weapon, a weaponized virus. The story of Dr. Mary Sherman and the creation of the AIDS virus was primarily designed and targeted to go into Cuba and to affect the Cuban military under Fidel Castro. Now, in China, the reports have are surfacing that there is a new virus that kills much more rapidly than AIDS. It has much the same symptoms, but on a fast track. All right, it would appear that this is given out, released on certain people just as a laboratory guinea pig study. That's my take on the story, Don. The areas where it came, where it surfaced, just happened to be surrounding small towns of a big pharmaceutical manufacturing, vaccine manufacturing facilities, by the way. So I think it's just a preview of things to come.
Yeah. Do we really know that the information that's being reported, the official version, is even true at all?
Well, it's been verified from communications between the CDC of Atlanta and the Chinese.
I'm not saying it's not going on. What I'm referring to is their account of what's going on. I read here, you wrote, some experts diagnose them as having AIDS phobia.
Yeah.
So they're trying to say that they have some version of psychosomatic AIDS.
Well, there's always that spin, and we don't really know with the Chinese media the exact numbers. Is it, a dozen? Is it hundreds? Is it thousands? That was the problem with SARS, if you remember back a decade or so ago. It was way underreported. And, of course, in the Chinese scheme of things, a few million people is not really a problem with them. A few million people going down is kind of a good thing as far as the Chinese Communist Party leadership is concerned.
Oh, yeah. If that can even be interpreted the right way.
Well, I'm just also referring to the...
of course, I understand what you mean.
Yeah, the Defense Secretary Xi Haoxian's speech just prior, a couple of years before the Olympic Games kicked off, where he basically announced that they, the CCP, have new biological weapons that they're ready to use. And they basically announced that America would have to be, quote, cleaned up all of a sudden, which, of course, is a euphemism for mass biological weapons deaths in the mainland of America.
Yeah, I think that report came out a few months ago, didn't it? But I think some of this is smoke and mirrors sometimes. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about these things. That's not at all what I'm saying. But when the news comes out, it seems to create a lot of fear, and that's what they're trying to do, is just keep throwing things out there, whether they're true or not. It's always a possibility. It's just like nuclear war. Yeah, somebody could have a bad hair day and decide to start pushing some buttons, and then it's over. See, it's insane that they would even threaten to do that to each other, though. In a deeper sense, that they're so into putting the drama out there for the masses. I think that's what we really have to pay attention to, and catch them. Spend our time, instead of fretting over these things, spend our time exposing them and calling them to task. It's not going to happen, though, if people don't really pay attention to what's happening.
Right.
What's your thoughts when a sitting president announces that he's going to run again for a second term, and he's got to raise $1 billion to do that?
Well, he doesn't need to worry about it.
Well, we know he's got several $1 billion accounts, too.
Sure, and he's got a printing press in his basement. So, I mean, of course he's going to run again. And, you know, I don't – how can he even be vetted properly when he still hasn't shown his birth certificate? Now, you know, we gotta have Donald Trump put up some millions – of dollars, and you know, he's become the most famous so-called birther that there is. You know, he's publicly demanding that he produce his birth certificate, and he came to the forefront, as you may know, Don, and presented his certificate of life birth, his Donald Trump's certificate of life birth publicly. He says, "Look, it took me all of a half an hour to secure my certificate of life birth and to put it out for people to look at, and I'm not even running for office."
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just, you know, there's no reason why he, not Donald Trump, but Obama can't produce the necessary documentation.
Well, there is, and that's because there is none. That's the only answer. He doesn't have the documentation. So... and we've been through that on many shows. Well, True, before I let you go, one quick question on what you're hearing about radiation levels in both in Japan and what may have migrated to the United States by now.
Well, I concur with the scientist, John Jack Phillips, who was on my show last week, and without going into a full-blown discussion on it, there's there's different types of radiation. There's non-ionizing radiation, and then there's ionized radiation, which is there's two different animals completely. Okay, what you see coming out into the atmosphere from the Fukushima reactor is what's called non-ionizing radiation. It's composed of cesium primarily and iodine, radioactive iodine that comes up, and it dissipates and changes its isotope structure in 72 hours. It's a very short half-life. Now, that's much different than ionizing radiation that comes out of nuclear bomb fallout. There's a much different toxicity there. The only way that non-ionizing radiation is deadly is if you're, you know, very close to ground zero and you get 1,000 times more than is deemed to be safe, okay? Mm-hmm. And Jack Phillips, again, 94 years old, flat out incredible credentials. He's worked for the military, yeah. He was actually World War II veteran, 5.5 year veteran. His credentials are incredible, and he puts out a really important common sense strip of information, Don, and that's basically that that the fact is that certain non-ionizing radiation is actually, and this sounds really strange, it's actually quite beneficial to human beings and other animals. And his research papers, his documentation that he pointed me towards is quite eye-opening. I had never really understood it. He describes what's called the LNT theory. It's really not a theory at all. It's an unproven hypothesis, the linear no threshold level of radiation, which basically the government has declared that zero radiation is the optimum level. And the research now coming out, Don, is that needs to be re-examined, that actual radiation levels in water, vegetables, even the minerals that we consume, that a certain threshold of REM is very helpful and beneficial, actually. And I got to say, I got to concur with that. What I do in my business, you know, one of the units that I produce and build is called a photon sound beam. And we've seen incredible health benefits from this machine. But, you know, it's when you're utilizing it, it puts out some non-ionizing radiation. It just does. And, you know, like we talked about on the show with Mr. Phillips, the very sunlight, the isotopes from the sun itself, the hydrogen ions, the solar flare radiation, it's radiation. If we don't have sunlight on the land, we can't grow any food, we can't grow anything for the human organisms to absorb. And the very fact of getting 20 to 30 minutes of radiation from the sun on bare skin starts a process in the body where vitamin D is produced. So that's a very basic example of radiation in the form of sunlight that causes, you know, very beneficial chemical reactions in the human body. And this is the very basis of Mr. Phillips and other scientists saying we need to scrap this LNT, this linear no threshold fallacy, and realize that certain levels of non-ionizing radiation actually are helpful.
You think that if you were to see that ambiance between radiation and certain life forms could be demonstrated in a logarithmic curve, that might be more accurate what's going on?
They are working with that. There's researchers in Australia. I hate to say it, but there are researchers in Japan and even China now. This researcher, Peter Parsons, he has a whole forum on what's called radiation hormesis, which is just that whole thing that certain levels of radiation, and they're mapping this out, just like I said, on a logarithmic scale. And it's basically saying that the preliminary research is showing 500 to 1,000 times higher radiation than the EPA says is safe is showing to be beneficial. So what I'm saying is when you see these non-ionizing radiation clouds coming out and even the precipitation of rain, and and they say it's exceeding the EPA requirements by 1,000 times, well, the EPA has a zero LNT, linear scale. I mean, so any radiation that's picking up is going to get the alarm bells whistling.
Mm-hmm.
The message that Jack Phillips gave my listeners, and I got to say, I concur with the findings. It's not something to get your fear hormones all worked up about. It just really is not a problem.
At least not at this stage.
Yeah, and I you know, there's a lot of miles of ocean between here and Fukushima, okay? And I not to say this is not a catastrophic event for the Japanese people. No, this level of radiation within a 30-mile radius is very dangerous and potentially deadly for those people there. So it's a tragedy. But as far as it coming over and killing off all life on the North American continent, that just is not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, then it also becomes an issue of whether or not we're being told the truth about the nature of the actual leakage that's occurred. You know, how serious is it really?
That's true too. And you know, there's been over 300,000. I shouldn't say above ground tests. 38,000. Okay. Throughout the Pacific Island chain, from the Nevada test site, et cetera, et cetera. And this is ionized radiation now. This is nuclear fallout. And yeah, it has caused cancers. It's been a proven linkage between human cancers in southern Utah. So, I mean, there's that precedence that gets people thinking, wow, you know, this nuclear reactor is another fallout situation like the downwinders face. Totally different animal. Mm-hmm. Totally different. And believe me, my father was awarded some settlement with the downwinders fund, because it was proven he was in the area and did develop cancer because of these tests. So you're talking to a guy that is very much a supporter of these downwinder victims' rights, but this is a different situation now.
Yeah. Speaking of that, was that testing that occurred in Nevada at the time?
Yes. My father was going to Dixie State College in St. George, and his friends and him, they thought it was great to go up on the bluff and watch the actual A-bombs go off, and the south wind was blowing right towards him. All of his friends that went there, they all died of similar cancers. So, yeah, it's a problem.
Well,
but there's different forms of radiation, though.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to hear that. It's, you know, my father was a victim of I'm trying to think of the name of it now. I blanked out. Well, when you're around asbestos, okay, mesothelioma.
Mesothelioma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were settlements that were given out, but, you know, who owned the mines that, you know, eventually this was owned by the Rockefellers.
Right.
You know, so was their own materials, their own business, which was at fault in this. And big, huge factories were outfitted with that, as well as many new buildings with drop ceilings and what have you. There were all kinds of different ways to give it to people. And they had it right next to the air conditioning vents or the heating vents. So that stuff was always blowing out in the atmosphere over time. Microscopic amounts, but lodging in one's lungs and then turning into cancer or other respiratory problems. And this is done without any conscience, really, when you think about it. While we're at it, let's put fluoride in their water. Someone spilled a bottle of fluoride and it burned a hole in the concrete in a water treatment facility. And you think of the fact they're putting this in our drinking water.
So, yeah, we got so much more to worry about just in food additives and carcinogenic substances like sodium fluoride. I got to tell you, it's been kind of a financial boon for my business. A lot of people just stocking up on potassium and iodine, and we've sold quite a bit. But I tell people that call in You know, you should buy and use this as a mineral supplement, not to be, you know, so afraid of death from fallout clouds, okay? It's just a good idea to take potassium and iodine and other minerals on a supplementation as well to keep that thymus gland strong regardless of radiation levels. So, you know, it's in one way, it's kind of
you want good to, you want to have it to be prepared.
Yeah, to have it ready. And
yep.
I'm firmly of the opinion that sometime in the near future, America is going to be rocked with the same type of devastation earthquake, much more so than Japan. That New Madrid fault line goes off the way they're planning on doing it, Don. Just totally devastate this country.
I know, it doesn't make any sense until you look at the bigger picture, but that's the story behind the story. So.
Indeed, indeed. Well, and just in conclusion, let me just again reiterate Edgar Steele's trial is set for the 27th of April there in, I believe it'll be held in Spokane area. Maybe they'll have a change of venue somewhere else because of, you know, there's a lot of public opinion swaying towards, you know, his innocence now. So, you know, let's hope for the best with him. And regardless, Don, of whether he is convicted or acquitted, I think it's safe to say he's lost his fighting spirit now. And, you know, his words were amazing there in 2009. Let's just never give up hope and keep rising up off the canvas. Well, he's been laid down with a huge 1-2 punch. It's a sad, sad story.
Yeah, I'm suspicious of his heart problems, and then the treatment on top of that, too. He's not. This was several months ago. I don't know if that's still the case, but he wasn't getting medication that he really needed.
Exactly.
For his heart. So pray, I would say, to everyone out there, if you could, for Edgar and Cindy Steele and their family. And pray for the people in Japan. Pray for the people in your town, in your county, in your state, in your country, especially if it's the United States of America. You should be on your knees praying to God to empower you to do something. Don't wait for someone else to take the action that you yourself eventually are going to be required to take for your very own survival. Drew, I want to thank you for being on the show. Again, the radio show is The Story Behind the Story, heard Monday through Friday on the microeffect.com. And your website is atrueot.com.
That's it. Thanks, Don, for another good show, and appreciate all you do. You be safe, and God bless you, okay?
I will, okay. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. A. Truot. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night, and I'll be doing a monologue show, many-faceted, tomorrow. And I don't have a guest plan. However, Wednesday is Wellness Wednesday on Evident Footprints. And we're going to have Dr. Wayne Pickering on for a series of shows that we're going to do this month on every Wednesday, as the name said. So if you're interested in learning more about getting and staying well, then you're going to want to tune in. So that wraps it up. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.